You roll a polyhedral numbered object onto the table and add your listen skill modifier and success. You are now listening to the Anomaly Podcast with Angela and Jen.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen. The shadow hides me in Tamriel at most of the parties I attend, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I have a lightsaber and a blaster just because I can, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Stephanie, and I bought my first broadsword because it had a unicorn on the hilt, and I am an anomaly.
My name is also Jen, and I'm a level 40 healer at one of the largest hospitals in the state of Texas, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to this special edition of Anomaly. Well, it's not really special, but it kind of is to us because we have our best friends with us. Sith Jen, as you know from Comic-Con, and our friend Stephanie, who you've probably seen in our Austin Comic-Con video.
She's been around.
And she was in one of our very first podcast episodes. She was our only Anomaly Girl of the Week.
She was. It was an experiment that we started. Then we got lazy. But congratulations, Stephanie. Glad that worked out.
What did I do wrong?
So, Jen, what are we talking about today?
We've been teasing people for months about this idea of ours to talk about gaming raid groups and how they relate to real life. In particular, our group of friends. But we're going to give you examples of how raid groups can also be in sports and in television shows. And we're going to give you examples of all of those things. And we'll explain to you what a raid group is, those of you who are not gamers and are like, what the heck is she talking about? Don't worry, all will be revealed. So, Angela, this was your idea, and
yes.
We've all been very excited to join this conversation, so I'm going to let you explain.
This is an idea I've had just in general, and the first thing is I was amazed by all of the math that goes into it and everything and the algorithms that go into the gaming and how fun and realistic-ish that is to make the game as cool as possible, because, you know, if you get too overpowered, it's not fun. If you're too underpowered, it's not fun, and how the math works so that everybody, you know, has a balanced game. And I feel like life is kind of like that too. My main experience is from playing World of Warcraft. In that particular game, so you have a tank and they're the person who takes the most damage. And all of the attention needs to be focused on them. They grab the most attention. And then you have your healer that keeps the tank and hopefully everybody else alive, but usually you're focused on the tank. Then you have a DPS, which is damage per second, the person that deals the most damage and hopefully kills the other guy before the tank dies. So that's your main three. Then you have DPS can either be in close in or ranged. You have your ranged DPS and your rogues that sneak around, deal damage from afar, have a little bit more planning ahead because tanks like to go in and raise a lot of heck and just start bashing things. Rangers and rogues, they tend to stay back or they're in the shadows. And then you also have depending on the game you're playing, you have your magic dealers. And this will become clear. But like, let's say you're a tank. That means you can wear a lot of armor. You can hold a big axe or sword or bludgeoning instrument, and you can deal some damage, but you usually don't have magic. That's the kind of the other side of it, is that in WoW, now it is different, and Jen's going to talk a little bit about Star Wars, but in WoW you don't really have because you have your big swords.
Unless you're a druid, that's true.
And then you shapeshift, and then you get to
play. But druids are usually off tanks, but then we'll get into that later. So then, the thing is that my point is that there's these three main ideas, but then as the group gets bigger, you have different roles that you're playing, and again, we'll talk about how that happens in other situations. So Jen's going to talk a little bit about how it works in Star Wars.
Oh. Star Wars is actually really similar. We use a 4-man raid, and it's basic. You've got your tank, And again, that's the same as any other tank. That's the guy that holds them up. He doesn't necessarily deal the most damage, but he can take the biggest hit. This guy can take some hits. Mm-hmm. All right? You just need to not... He needs to not crumple. This is not your squishy guy.
No.
And then you have your heals, and their job is to keep the tank alive, usually keep the group alive. They deal in group health, cures, and keeping the tank up. That's all they do. They cure people, keep the tank up, blah, blah, blah. And then you have your damage people. Usually you'll have the cool thing about Star Wars is your range DPS. Those are your scoundrels and your bounty hunters. So, yes, there's nothing more awesome than being a scoundrel or a bounty hunter. It's you're sitting there at your computer, you're very cool. And then you'll have your casters. These are Jedis and Sith. You can play good guy or bad guy, and they stand back and lob force lightning at people, which is also very cool. Yeah. But the same basic concept.
Same concept.
Yeah.
And explain squishy.
Oh, your squishies are your... Angela was talking about there's a trade-off. Like, with your tank, he can wear massive armor, he can take a lot of hits, but he can't lob fireballs or you know what I mean?
Heal himself.
The your squishies are your casters and usually, like, your healers or people. If they can do a lot of damage all at one time, the trade-off for them is they can only take that one or two hits. They're squishy. They wear their bathrobe to work. There's nothing on them. You know, if the mob runs after your healer, the healer dies, period. Because he's got nothing to protect him. Unless you're a druid. Yes, Stephanie's over there going, except for druids. Except druids.
But even druids. Okay, so your warriors, your tanks, the ones that pull the most amount of aggro, they get to wear the best armor. That's it. Point. They get to wear the heaviest armor, the plate armor. So when you go with your range people, your druids, your hunters, then they can wear heavy leather and they can wear chain, but they're not wearing plate ever. They can take a little bit of damage. And druids were I liked playing because initially I was playing solo and it was so versatile of a character. You could shapeshift and be so many different things that, depending on where you needed to be, depending on what was needed in the raid groups. And I liked that versatility. So that's what I liked it. But druids were still able to wear leather. When you go to your magic and your casters, it's as if their psyche is so filled with so much power, they can't be weighted down.
No,
so
they
much.
Cannot.
They can only wear cloth. And you know what? Quilted wool is still just wool.
Yeah, it's just wool. It's
just, you know, whatever you want to do. But you know, most of those characters, when they're wearing those outfits and you see them in World of Warcraft, it's amazing what you can do with cloth and it looks all skimpy, skimpy.
Well, but, it's amazing what you can do with plate.
And it looks skimpy,
and it's still
skimpy.
Not supposed to protect me.
My belly button showing.
But that's a different show.
And that's a whole different show.
Stephanie, you were going to talk a little bit about live action role playing.
Okay, in my younger years, I played Amgard, and live-action role-playing in Amgard was... I did a lot of just fighting, sheer fighting, but we had organized games, and I do hear that Amgard has changed a little bit more to be a different game, but from my experience when I was playing, when we would do the organized battles with my company, we were very organized. We were very together. And we definitely had, you know, your tank guys, your guys that were sneaky, would kind of sneak around, not as noticed.
Rogues.
And your rogues, yes, the scoundrels. So, and then you would have people that would lob from a distance. Of course, it was, you know, if you ever did thing be foamed padded weapons and stuff. So there's less ranged weapons and you didn't get to have like bow and arrows really that much at all. But that's the limits. The limits of reality versus what, you know, graphics can do and computers can do. So.
Exactly.
And my imagination, but yeah.
Well, the downside to LARPing is you actually have to get dressed up like your character to go do it. When I play Star Wars, I'm in my pajamas. Now, granted, I'm in my Darth Vader pajamas.
Yes.
As I'm doing fireballs and Sith lightning at people. But you can do it in your jammies with, like, a cup of coffee in the morning. You cannot LARP in your jammies.
No.
But you act like there's any reason for me not to wear armor when I can actually get out and wear my scale mail and chain mail.
That's true.
At any time. I will proudly be out there. I will find a way to put armor on a belly dancing costume. Yes. I like wearing armor.
Even for all of us.
Right. Sorry, I have to interject. My aunt took us to a public park where some LARPers were going to town.
For reals?
And she took us out of the park immediately because she thought they were devil worshippers. And I, knowing nothing about this, believed that they were devil worshippers.
Aww.
Yeah,
those are probably your people, Jen.
Had you not been taken out of the park that day, you would have found your tribe.
You would have just for me.
Probably. Right. Yeah. No, and that was
hurt you.
That was me in LARPing. I was like, I went there because I got to pick up a sword and shield. And I got to hit people really hard.
Stephanie likes
and
to hit people.
And that was so much fun. And I didn't go out there wearing a corset. I wasn't wearing a fancy schmancy dress. That was only for feast days. I went out there. Well, of course.
I honestly think Stephanie and I have been friends for a very long time. Yes. And we used to go dancing. I think she was really sad she never got to stab anybody in the throat. I mean, I think she was sad about that. So then when she LARPed, no one ever attacked us in an alley. I mean, I think she was sad. You were a little sad.
We almost got attacked that one time on 6th Street.
Ah, so close.
I fended him off. You did. Pulled the aggro.
That's true, you did. All right, so Jen, did you want to maybe talk yes. about the closer to real
yeah,
life?
Yeah, I'll bring
scenario.
This home for the people who are like, what are these what? People talking about?
Some of our fans are like, yes, yes, yes. Right
yes,
now.
All, right. Most of our fans are, but we do have non-nerds listening. Okay, so what we're talking about has all been video games and tabletop games, where like Dungeons and Dragons, you yes. know, Star Wars. There are some other games that you can play other than that. But in my experience has been Skyrim. Or Oblivion, you know, that kind of stuff, which you can't have raid groups, but you can roll different types of characters. But anyway, we'll go into that later. But I'm going to talk to you muggles out there about, you know, how you can relate this to sports. I was an athlete.
Which we do not hold against you. We love you anyways.
I played tennis and I played volleyball. But this works really for volleyball. Serving. That's your ranged fighter. And you have to be really good at targeting. You have to put that ball exactly where you want it to go. But then you have the setter and the spiker. Spiker is a tank. And the setter is the off tank. Well, the bumper is kind of like the...
That's kind of your crowd control.
Yeah.
I would say that's crowd control. So you would have some of your DPS is there. But I think your the spiker probably is also a very hard DPS. I mean, because they score the points. I mean,
you have to block,
that's
too.
True. Your spikers have to block. Yeah. That's true.
Well, not all. I mean, everyone has to be able to block because
right.
at some point
you're
going to be at the net. But
blockers, your heels.
Ah, yeah.
They're
your buffers.
But it depends on how you block because you can shove that ball right back inside other people's face.
A good heel can shove it right up somebody's end.
That's why we have her.
Bump, set, spike. And Stephanie was just telling me this also relates to cycling, and she's a cycler. So, Stephanie, take over.
My husband and really good friends used to compete, so he's taught me a few tricks. But I definitely am more of a tank. I pull aggro in cycling because when we lightly compete in small sprints and the like in our weekly little cycling groups, I tend to be the one that pulls the attention, draft on someone's wheel, and I'll bring us up to the front. My husband's typically drafting off of me, which means he's right behind me, which when you're drafting, you can reduce your output by 30 to 60%, depending on how close you are to the person behind me, because my husband and I are the same, quote, team, cycling being a team sport. If you've ever watched the Tour de France, and if you haven't, it's okay. I'll forgive you. I didn't either until a few years ago. But... But I'm pulling to the front. I'm catching the attention. I'll click my bike. I make a lot of noise. And one of my strengths is I never give up. Other guys will sprint to the front. They'll blow up. They lose all their energy and they fall back behind. But I will keep pulling heavy duty gears and keep pulling further and further ahead. And I'm not really good at sprinting. I'm not really good at jumping. My husband, who's on my wheel, when I get us to a good position, he will jump from behind my wheel, click, click, and he's gone. You can't catch him. He's gone
That's
at
true.
The end. So we work as a team, and I pull the attention. I pull the people think they need to get behind me. They can't because he's there. They see me coming. They see that I'm a threat, but he's actually the real threat because he's still fresh from riding behind me.
I think we kind of have hope that we have communicated in some way, shape, or form.
To everyone.
To everyone what we're talking about. So now we're going to take turns. This is what we wanted to talk about, and this is probably purely selfish, but I think that you guys might find it entertaining, is that the four of us, we have a self-proclaimed group right here. Our little instance group, our little raid group here. We think we have a pretty balanced group, and if you tried to go up against the four of us, you'd probably be in real trouble. And we're going to explain that. So we're going to take turns each talking about how we see it, see the group. We think it's pretty much the same, but we might be surprised. And then we will have a discussion about it. And that's probably the most boring thing I'm going to say, I hope. And take it away, Jen.
Ooh,
Sith
Jen.
Sith Jen's going first.
We're going to start with Sith Jen. Neat. Okay. Long story short, I'm one of the weird people that is actually in game and in life exactly the same thing. I roll healers. In every game I have played, I have rolled a healers. I have played EverQuest 2, Rift, WoW, didn't care for WoW. A couple others that I don't remember. Right now I'm playing Star Wars The Old Republic, and I'm a healer in all of them. Star Wars, I have good guy healers that are Jedi, and I have Sith healers. Sith healers are fun. You get to heal people by sucking the life force out of your enemies. So you don't have to necessarily be a good person to be a healer. So I'm not saying I'm the good person amongst us. I'm not the nice person here. I am, however, the heals. In life and in game, I am heals. I actually am a nurse in real life. So I'm your heals. And I'm really, really effing good. So let me just put that out there. Oh, that's right. I get to say who everybody else is.
You have to say who everybody else is.
All right. So, okay. But you guys don't, you can't be mad at me.
No,
you can't be mad at me.
We cannot interrupt you.
Okay.
No, that's why we all four have to have our opinion.
Well, then, long story short, this is, I'm going to break it down for you. Angela, you're my main tank because I think you can take the hardest hits. Stephanie, you're our off tank because honestly, you're the most tenacious person. If we had an ad come in while Angela is tanking, you could not only take the ad, but kill the ad. So I don't have to worry about my ads. Thank you, ma'am. And Jen is the sneaky, she's sneaky, guys. You just don't even know this about Jen. She is a rogue. She is a rogue in life and in game. And that's how I break it down for you. Done.
Uh-huh. I see. You have the guests go first.
Yes, you do have the guests go first.
All right. So the way I see it, well, okay, Jen always rolls heals. Duh. Then she's the healer in the group. And she's a very versatile healer. Don't cross her. Because she will suck the life out of you if she doesn't like you to heal her friends. And that's really true.
Works out for us.
So, yeah. Yeah. We like her. So. Angela, I definitely see his tank, because tank is good at pulling aggro, which is pulling attention. You catch the tension. Jin, I see long range. She doesn't like to be right in the spotlight. She likes to be a little bit behind the scenes, but when she is seen, you will notice her. When she pings you, when she gets your attention, you will see her. Right before you die. And that's pretty much. So, but I guess because for her as like the bow weapon really just seems to naturally fit with her in my mind's eye. So I see her as bow and arrow. So as the ranger, as the woods elf, the woods person. So that she definitely blends in with the environment until she chooses to be seen, which is also a little roguey, but okay. There you go.
Yourself.
And myself, God. Okay, I like to tank. I do. And in the environment I'm in, I do like to tank. I could see off tank because I really love playing my druid and love the versatility. So there's a lot of like flip-flopping and switching to what the group needs that I really like to be able to do. But my most comfortable spot is definitely more in the spotlight.
Okay, well, this is Angela, obviously, and I'm going to have to agree. I'm interested in the rogue idea for Jen, but obviously our Sith Jen is our healer. We're all in agreement on that one. Yes, I do see myself as main tank, and I went back and forth on this because Stephanie and I both can tank, and to be fair, in a lot of ways, Stephanie is stronger than me. I feel like she can deal more damage, and that's why I switched myself to main tank rather than Stephanie, because I feel like, and also she's more prone to magic than I am. And I think the off tank can have a little bit more magic than the main tank can. Like Jen was saying, I feel like Stephanie's more likely to deal more damage, and I feel like in my personal and in my gaming life, that taking damage, that's the real thing. It's not about the who hits the hardest, it's about who can take the most hits. And I feel like I've proven that I can take a lot of hits and still keep going. So, and of course, Jen, you know, I really feel like I'm with Stephanie on this one, that I feel like Jen is a ranger, a bow, but the rogue thing is so interesting. And what was really funny, and we'll talk about this in a minute after Jen goes, is that some of the real life examples is more rogue for Jen. Like I see when we're in the fantasy world, the four of us, that Jen is more of that ranger kind of off in the distance, but that in our real life situations that she is really more of a rogue. So that's kind of interesting. What about you?
Is it going to be all funny. The way around?
We don't really disagree too much on all this, except for where it comes to me.
That's why we make a good group. We know our places.
We know our places. No, Angela, you are the tank. You are blunt. You are a blunt instrument. You take a lot of damage. And we'll give examples later. You do pull a lot of aggro.
I mean, even when I don't mean
it's a family podcast, Stephanie.
No,
I do my best.
She said the family.
I do my best to make sure this is not a family podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
So, damn. Sorry.
Go ahead.
We'll get to all of the details of why we think that later. We'll discuss more in more depth. But now, Stephanie agrees off tank. Like she supports Angela and everything, and she has Angela's back all the time. She will kill you with her braid.
Do I have to use my brain? Can I use my swords?
I said braid. Your braid.
Oh, braid. I was like, I can use my brain, but swords are so much more
She
fun.
Can kill you with her brain, too, but her braid. Because I've seen her demonstrate this. She whips it around, and it's like this really dangerous thing.
I've lusted for years over appropriately deadly hair things, like whether they're sticks that are sharpened and just a way not to cut my hair, but yet would be used and if needed.
Should we figure out a way to make it look like a noose? We need to do that one day.
I've already braided my hair into a noose. It's been done.
Cool.
So
it's really long. Really long hair. Jen is definitely the healer. She takes care of all of us, watches over us. She's very...
She makes sure Stephanie and I don't kill each other.
She's very motherly.
Or anybody else.
And the funny thing is, she's the youngest one in our group.
Don't tell lies, Angela. I'm not 17.
So with me, I had a hard time coming up with... I was split down the middle, rogue or ranger, because I think I'm a blend. Rangers have to be comfortable in the woods, profession-wise. They are good with animals. I've been a horseman. My dad calls me Annie Oakley. I've won fishing tournaments. I am one with nature. I love hiking. I collect fossils and everything. But rogue, I have a dark side.
If you bruise people, like I do, they heal.
Now we support our positions. Who wants to go first? Oh. Have we decided?
Well, I mean, we haven't argued about it. So what is
I don't think there's going to be an argument. We pretty much agree with one another.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about how, because I think we went through, and I think this was perfect so far. I'm really happy with how we're going. What do you like to play in game? Jen did talk about how she's heals in game when she does that. So I actually kind of like to play a DPS in game. I like playing tank, but I really like playing where I can just rain fire. I like raining fire on people. Just raining fire. But that's the funny thing is that it's a very out there. I'm not a way back DPS. I like you to know that I'm raining fire on you. So I guess...
That's me. That's my fire.
And I've heard
look
that...
Look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, look at me. I am kicking your ass from way over here. Screw you. So I played a mage when I played WoW, and I'm playing a bounty hunter. Jen and I were talking about this earlier, is I can rain fire and missiles at you, but if you come up to me, I will cut you with my finger knives or whatever it is that I happen to have, you know, so I can do either, and I'm ready for it. So that's what I like to play in game. What do you like to play in game?
Yeah, I want my cake and I eat it too. So off tank is appropriate. I've been WoW clean for, gosh, five years.
Proud of you.
Well, yeah. So I've been WoW clean and getting married, family, all that kind of stuff. My intense job right now is definitely in the way of any kind of gaming. And more
well, while you gamed.
But while I gamed, I loved my druid. And trust me, when I got into WoW, I went into it hardcore in that I had a character in every profession, in every species, good and bad, and then I figured out my favorite. But my favorite from the get-go, from the beginning, was always the first one I made, which was my druid, Sable Luna, and she was fantastic. She was wonderful. And just because I did play on my own and I was exploring the game by myself a lot, and I played on dial-up initially. That was another reason for playing by yourself. Yeah, I lived out in the middle of nowhere, and that was all
like
there
the
was.
Like the Dark Ages, Stephanie. Yes.
We have millennials are going, what's dial-up?
What's a dial-up?
You need to put the sound effect right here.
So that you know what it sounded like.
Yeah, right. And so that was another reason why I played
the
by myself. Because
yeah. The sounds of nightmares.
Because a lot of my friends did not play on dial-up, and they'd be like, ah, oh, Stephanie's off again. And she'd be like, well, you know, if I can get on and play for a little bit, I will, and I'll just play by myself. So I would, and that versatility of being able to tank when you need to, and I got really good at being able to shapeshift, and I would play my caster, attract the aggro, then I would change into my tank, my bear, and I would kill them. And then I would also like sneak around as my little cat, invisible, and to other way higher level areas to just kind of check out the area, and then find my strategic position, use my long distance to attract it, change into the bear, kill them. And it was a very effective plan. I purposely set myself up for being able to take on anything by myself. Scout it out, set up the plan, attract it by weakening them severely at a distance. Look at me! Look at me! Yeah, I relate
very
to that too.
You.
Yeah.
What about you in game?
Me in game, my only MMO that I play is Star Wars: The Old Republic, and that's the only contradiction for me. I play a knight, more of a tank.
Yeah, but you play your knight tank just as if you were a smuggler or a scoundrel. Or a bounty hunter.
Which is funny you said
which
that.
Which are all the DPS classes.
The three of
you
us.
You don't play it like a tank.
The three of us played together recently. And it's funny that you say that because even with my... I was like, okay, guys, I'm going in first.
I'm gonna go get that guy.
I'll go first. Oh, I'm gonna go get that guy. That's mine.
You want to let the tank get...
Oh, no.
Oh, well, she's gone. We better go now.
I got it with my missiles.
Okay, so Star Wars, The Old Republic, that's the way I play. You really have a raid group, but you're playing all the characters, really, is mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
Mass Effect, mm-hmm. to some extent. And Oblivion, which you only have like a companion or... not Oblivion, Skyrim. In Knights of the Old Republic, I was always a counselor. Or is that how you say it? Counselor?
Counselor.
Whatever.
I think I was a counselor, too. You know, when I started playing, when I went back to play KOTOR after I played WoW,
they're diplomatic.
I played better, mm-hmm. knowing how the group is supposed to react together. I played faster in a better game, knowing those dynamics.
Well, in Mass Effect, I use a sniper rifle, and then I have other powers to kind of balance it out a bit. And then in Skyrim, I always play ranged elf. But I also play first-person shooters. Rainbow Six, for instance. Sniper! I think it comes with hunting. It's hard for me to instantly switch from long-range weapon to sidearm. There have been instances where that has been a problem in real life. Not with weapons, but with words.
Before we get into that, I wanted to bring it back to Anomaly for a second, and Jen and I talked about this a little bit as we were preparing for this, talking about how in Star Trek, TOS especially, you have a good raid group.
Oh, yeah.
There. I keep saying raid group because really raids are like a lot more people than just five, but I'm thinking of kind of a small group.
An instance group.
And so you got Kirk, who's definitely your tank, and you've got Spock, who's like a long range, or, you know, you got your thinking person. You know, they're always assessing the situation. And then, of course, McCoy is heals. I mean, that's very obvious. So it's like that's... that's one of the ones, anomaly-wise, in a lot of people that we that listen to the show are Star Trek fans. That's a really good way to kind of just put it in easy ways.
Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yes, we were thinking that Leonard would be Tank and Sheldon would be DPS or Long Range or even Rogue because he's weird. And not saying that Rogues are weird, but, you know, the Vulcan for sure. And then the other two guys, I think Raj would be Heels and... Yeah, and that Howard would be off Tank. So anyway, so those are kind of the fun. Which story did you want to tell first?
Oh gosh, I think you should start off because I can't think of. I already gave one of my examples.
Oh, are you talking about the when that guy tried to kiss you?
You had that on your list.
That was on my list.
Yeah, that was definitely our long-ranged fighter. All of a sudden. Was in my face, and I... Sidearm! Sidearm!
And then Tank had to come save you and be like, over here, over here, over here.
Tell that story.
Okay, what happened? Okay. We were at Renaissance Festival. It was just the four of us, and this weird guy who we think was on X was, like, being real weird. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. And Jen, if you ever meet her in person... She's the coolest person, but she doesn't scream, oh, come hug me. She just doesn't. And not everybody's really like that, but I think if you were just a random stranger, you would get the vibe from Jen that you shouldn't just come up to her and give her a smooch. However, this guy did not read those signals very well, and I think she was so stunned. It was just exactly like it. Here's my squishy ranger in nothing but leather armor. And a mob comes up on her so close and so surprisingly that she was stunned. She got hit by a stun spell. And so even though she would normally be able to react very quickly and shoot him right in the face, she didn't know what to do. And so as her tank, I got in there and I got her away, pulled aggro, talked to him. And then he went and randomly made out with his girlfriend, which was really
weird. Was watching the whole thing.
Who was watching the whole thing.
Creepy.
And it took everyone a second to recover from this stunt.
I think, however, what you guys need to talk about here is okay. Jin's reaction after the stun wore off. Because it is proof positive she is indeed a rogue.
Okay.
And not just a nice ranger elf who's just frolicking with forest animals. Because by the time we got back to camp and everybody had realized how creepy this whole situation is, Jen would have killed him.
Yeah.
She was just like, if I was not stunned, I'd have murdered the man.
Yeah, but she's...
And oh, she
yeah,
would have, like, karate chopped his throat. And windpipe down, there it would have been, like,
that's
dead.
That's true. Whenever I was trying to decide whether I was a rogue or a ranger, I had to account for the fact that I know martial arts.
Not for a moment did she think it was a good idea to walk away and alert the authorities. No. Just gonna murder
Knee
him with her
crotch.
Thumb. I'm just saying, that's pretty indicative of roguish behavior.
But people don't generally like rogues.
I like rogues just fine.
Rogues do their job.
Says Sith Jen.
Yeah. I think you're just fine being a rogue.
Are any of us truly innocent? Nice and cuddly? I like my unicorns on broadswords.
The other thing is, I'm a gardener. That is a skill.
I'm a tailor. I'm basically a tailor tank, which doesn't combine very often. Usually your tanks are going to be your plate and mail makers, which is what Stephanie is. We've thought about this way too much. But we want you guys to as well. That's why we're doing this show.
Well, and think about it in today's world. In reality,
yes.
Pulling aggro, getting the attention mm-hmm. is in what you wear. And you know what? As much as I'd like to change that idea, skill mail, chain mails... And plate mail, it's really not what the people catching the attention are wearing. You wear cloth. So you, as a tailor, tank, makes sense because you can tailor your clothes to be those bright, flashy colors. And it's true. You like to wear red a lot. And that's that bright, flashy, catch your eye, give you that passion sense colors.
Mm-hmm.
Jen wears a lot of blues and greens, easy, calming. I'm talking about Sith Jen. Where's blues and greens, the calming, true. Healing. So I'll wear electric purple when I'm pulling my tank, but then I have my blues and my greens times two. And then there's...
Gray and black.
Yeah. gray well, and black and and go. Blood red.
Browns.
And blood
you
red.
Do sometimes wear blood red.
Like, oh, yeah, cute. I do like bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to words, I'm strategic in how I word things, and Angela always complains I'm too wordy.
I do.
Because I'm always looking for the right words to diffuse a situation or explain myself or defend us sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Angela's just like,
shut up.
One word, one sentence. And it's like that in text messages and in emails. And mine's like two paragraphs long. And she's like, that could have been a lot shorter. And I think too much, and I strategize, and rogues and long-range fighters do that.
Mostly rogues. They're the strategist in any raid.
I also
just like to say,
when I fight in games, I have a hard time beating the boss unless I think and strategize and figure out a way to take pot shots from an angle where he can't see me.
I'll do that, but I'll try to just kill them about 4 times before I do that. I'll just go in and see how much damage I can deal. As quickly as possible. Just hit him enough and see how far that goes. And I'll try it like 3 or 4 times. And then if that doesn't work, then I'll make a plan. No, I'm just kidding.
We play together. We play Star Wars Old Republic together. And one of the times when we did, I pulled a Leroy Jenkins.
She did.
Just kind of wandered in. And I'll post in the show notes a video that, if you don't know who Leroy Jenkins is, it's the guy where everybody is like in WoW, right? It was a WoW.
And it was instance. A raid. It was like a raid. Like a massive giant. You
I think
have
it was
to,
a full raid. It was either 24 or 48 people. 48 grown adults had taken their Friday night off to go kill a monster.
Grown adult is a really relative term. But yes, it takes a lot of time and planning to get something like this
together. A raid. And the reason why the Leroy Jenkins things is so hilarious is because there's video of this. The whole raid is sitting there, and they have planned. They have 5 different healers types, and again, these are grown people who didn't go see the movie that night, and they were standing there talking out strategy in raids, because again, there's that many people. There's always a raid leader. Usually big raids like that have 2 raid leaders. So the raid leaders are there, and they're in there. You can hear them. They're discussing how the strategy, they're going to kill this epic mob. It's a giant dragon or something awesome like that. And out of nowhere, this dwarf, and it's important to note that it was a dwarf, goes just runs past all 48 people shouting, Leroy Jenkins! Kind of like, let's do this! And pulls the entire, I mean, and it took seconds, and all 48, like, they just dead
on the ground. The big thing about it was that it wasn't just one mob, it was like a whole bunch.
He got a whole
like,
room full of mobs.
Right? It pulled
the whole room.
The whole room of all of these little guys, and it just massacred every single person.
So. Within seconds!
And it takes time for that stuff to reset.
Yes.
That's the other thing, is that
there's a lot of planning, a lot of strategy that goes into it. And for nobody just runs in and wings
nobody
it.
Just
there's
wings
no such
it.
Thing as winging it when you have that many people. And it was a big mob boss. And yeah, so that's why the term Leroy Jenkins!
He even got like canonized in the because right, like you could get a Leroy Jenkins after a while. Yeah. Now it's been a long time since I played. Yeah. But you can get like a Leroy Jenkins achievement. But where you go into that room and you kill all those. Anyway.
A lot of things happen at RenFest that could be applicable to this situation.
RenFest is the closest thing to a real life RPG situation that we will ever get into. And we don't do it on purpose, but that's the closest thing you're ever going to see to real, honest to goodness MMORPG type weirdness.
We don't LARP though. That's
no,
the thing.
We don't.
We're just there.
We're
being
just ourselves.
Ourselves.
Yeah.
It happens
organically.
We kind of make fun of people who are too much into their characters.
Yeah.
We do a little bit.
A little.
But our larger group at RenFest is a guild.
Yeah.
And Mark is our guild leader.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a larger group would be your larger circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
So in a guild is just a bunch of people together, and then you have small groups.
I think that's fair.
The scenario I was going to talk about is one year we were there at Halloween.
And
there's a couple of stories we could tell here. Reverse trick-or-treating.
But this one's the best.
It is the best.
Reverse trick-or-treating. And of course you don't know what that is, so let me explain.
Because we made it up, Jen. We made
we
it
did.
Up.
We made it up.
Angela did.
No, I did.
Oh, Stephanie did. Okay.
Because Halloween that year. Okay. The Renaissance Festival, Saturday and Sunday only, they have themed weekends. That year, Friday was Halloween.
and Saturday was not their Halloween-themed weekend. And so we were, like, so kind of upset that we weren't going to wear, like, Halloween costumes to the fair. So we purposefully went to the Renaissance Festival, and this is kind of when it was a little bit more novel. And we dressed as Jedis and brought our lightsabers. Our very expensive lightsabers at the time that were not readily produced and not found everywhere. And we had a great time giving candy away.
And that's the reverse of the trick-or-treating. Yeah. You're going from tent to tent to tent in the campground. In the campgrounds. This
but
is
we
before.
We also procured some beer that way.
Yes, and other things. But
anyways, back to this story.
Well, I was telling a story.
Explain.
I was telling
you
a story.
Go back to
explain
it
the story. Gotta...
We wandered into a group where they wanted to hit on you. You were just as Mara Jade. Not that one. I wasn't going to tell that story. Where you wandered over to a group, we were handing out stuff, and the guy was hitting on you. And you got in his face. Remember that?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I got someone's
you
face.
You pulled aggro.
Yeah, I totally pulled aggro. It was a couple of really drunk and frat boys.
Those guys.
And they were like, and I was like, do you want me to use this sword on you? Because I will break it off on your head or some other orifice. So don't even go there. And I just pretty much went from 0 to 60 immediately from the, hey, you're kind of nice looking to...
beep, 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 beep. We will beep that.
I didn't see the whole
thing.
You
did. Well,
enough.
It,
okay.
You thought it so loud it's going to be on the radio.
I was like, and I was single, but I was absolutely not interested. And I made that abundantly clear from like 0 to 60.
That was a tank scenario.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good example of why she's an off tank. The difference between a really skilled tank and a really skilled off tank is a tank will know how to draw aggro but not kill the mob right away. Sometimes you don't need to kill it right away. Usually your off tank is your 0 to dead in like 2.5 seconds. And she went from 0 to threatening their person. In
Angela had to drag her away.
0 seconds.
Wow.
We're very gentle people, honestly.
I don't even think those were aggro mobs. No. Those were just hanging out in the instance mobs, and she attacked them.
We did go into their campsite.
To be fair.
That's true.
To be fair.
I think they're the ones that ended up giving me beers. So.
They were trash mobs, Stephanie.
They were trash mobs. You're right.
Angela takes a lot of damage. I mean, we already talked about this. I think it's okay. Everyone knows that you won against cancer. That's a lot of damage, not only from the cancer, but from the therapy to eradicate any remaining cells.
Fair enough.
That there is some pretty heavy damage.
Right.
Do you have anything
to
follow up with that?
Stephanie's been in the hospital several times.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What?
She's very accident prone.
What? How did I go from being in the hospital several times and accident prone when I have...
You're not very careful. People like me are careful.
I've been in the hospital once. Okay. One time. One emergency ride, one hospital.
Accidents.
I've been in accidents, it's true. But that's because I didn't go to the hospital. I just kept riding after running into the barbed wire fence on my motorcycle. When I landed on my face at 25 miles an hour, I had a helmet on. So I got out the same night, but I did take an ambulance ride to the hospital. Once. Bicycle ride.
Okay.
But not careful.
No, she's careful.
I'm very careful. I'm just adventurous.
She's just
adventurous. And tanks are adventurous. They're adventurers. They are.
My husband proposed at 7,000 feet at the top of a mountain because I took him up that mountain and showed him, see, isn't this a cool place to go? And you don't have to bathe for 5 days. It's so cool.
Bathing is good. Deodorant is our friend.
Yes, it is. So are baby wipes.
Jen and I actually...
We had a discussion about that date.
But no, all of us bring something different to the table. And I think that's kind of awesome.
And that's why we're good friends.
It's true. We're going to take about a 5-minute break for Anne's Project Reroll segment, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Anne from Project Reroll, and today I have a review of my new favorite tabletop game, which is, drumroll please, Star Realms. Yes, Star Realms was funded via a Kickstarter campaign, and it is a really fun deck building game for two people. Now, Basically, what you're doing is you're building up a fleet of space stations and ships that rotate through your hand and you can use to try to deplete the other character's authority, or we'll call them health points. That's basically what they are. And whoever does that first wins. It is super pick up and play. It takes a tiny bit to sort of, if you've never played a deck building game, then it can be, you know, a minute to just sort of figure out what's going on. But I had just recently played Dominion for the first time before I picked this up, and it made it super easy to get into. But it's got all sorts of different things. The best thing is that every game is different because you have four different types of fleets that you can choose from: red, blue, green, and yellow, and each one of those fleets represents sort of a different playstyle. So you can try to collect as many of the same colored cards so you can synergize with them with each other. If you have more than one card of the same color out in your hand, that means that you have access to second tier abilities on those cards. But you can also mix, you know, green and blue or green and yellow or whatever you want to do for a sort of different feel. So some of it is dependent on how much resource you have available to you to buy whatever is out in front of you. And some of it has to do with planning out, you know, what kind of thing you want to do. So it is really fun. It is never the same way twice. And now that I've played a ton of games, you guys have played a lot of games, in this sort of type, it's like every game is completely different because I have figured out the value of each different type of fleet. And now I just, I actually lose to the AI in the Android and iOS version that you can have on your cell phone. Yeah, that's an addiction problem right there in itself. But you can totally get it for iOS and for Android. If you want to try it out, I think it's around $5. If you want to buy the actual deck of cards on Amazon, I think it's $14 or $15, something like that. But because I've now been able to play all the different types of games, I get really obsessed with all of the different decks, and I sort of forget what I'm building sometimes, and then I lose to a robot. Ho-hum. But yeah, it's totally great. I really recommend players of all kinds, beginners, or even people who, you know, have been playing deck building games for a long time. It seems like the perfect game to have at a con when you're in line, so I totally recommend it. I also want to give a short plug for my new web series, This Is Art, which is coming out on January 13th. We were picked up for a distribution partnership with BroadwayWorld.com, and we are so excited to share it with you. This is a satirical love letter to the, I guess, artistic process of undiscovered artists in New York City, and we would really appreciate if you guys would tune in. I think even though it is a show about the arts, it's certainly a show about anomalies. It was really written by anomalies. Me and my co-writer Emily wrote it, and we are both super nerdy girls, and so I think there's going to be something for everyone. But my character certainly in the show is somewhat autobiographical in her video game addiction, so I hope some of you can relate to that and will enjoy tuning in. You can check out more at watchthisisart.com, and we'll be putting out a lot more news on that as time goes on. You can also find us on facebook.com/watchthisisart. So again, guys, I hope you had a wonderful holiday season, and we will see you in the new year, 2015. Let's make it an anomalous one. Bye.
Thank you, Anne, for that segment. And now back to our geeky conversation. Who are you and your family?
Oh, me first?
Because it could be different.
It is different. My family is, and I, obviously, there's a difference between, like, my family, my nuclear family that I grew up with, like my mom and dad and my brother and sister, and then, of course, the family I'm in now. I mean, I think now I'm definitely a tank. As the mom, and I have an awesome husband healer, but he's like a shadow healer. He's a very interesting type of healer because he heals me. That's it. Because I take care of my child, soon to be children, and
But he heals me, and he'll take from others to give to me. So that's our dynamic, I think. But in my family, this is funnier, because that sounded kind of serious. My sister and my dad are the tanks. She draws way more attention than I ever could. And my brother basically wants to be a sniper. I think he'd be very happy just doing that for the rest of his life. He's just a business owner, but I think he'd be very, very happy just being a ranger. And my mom's heels, easy. I mean, done. That's not even a question. So, yeah. We have a little five-man group there in the lackeys there.
Let's see. In the family I grew up with, I quickly became off tank. My dad's a tank, hands down. My mom's the mom healer, so. And my sister, she's the rogue. She's straight up rogue. She totally
she'll stab
is.
You in the back. not stab you in the back, but stabby stab.
No, she'll stab you in the back. Chill. Okay, so, okay. She's 5 foot tall. She gets into small spaces really easily.
That's true.
So, in the family that I'm in now, it's a funny story about how my husband left to go get something, and I married into a 9-year-old. I knew her when she was 6 years old, and beautiful, beautiful girl that Isabella is. She was in the bathroom, there's a spider, and she was freaking out a little bit, and Jeff had run to the store to grab something, and she's crying in the bathroom, and she's like, I just want my daddy, and I was like, tell me what it is, I'll take care of it. But Jeff came back and he's talking to her and he's like, you have to understand, Isabella, anything that happens, she's like the mother bear and brave. She will take care of it. She's probably better at taking care of it than I could be. She is better than taking care of it than I could be. She will not let anything hurt you. And I was like, that's like the nicest compliment ever.
Because basically he called you a druid.
Yes.
And you know, I just realized all of us have 5-man groups, right? Sorry, go ahead.
That's good, though.
Have a 6-man.
I have a 6th man because, well, you know, sometime life needs some. There's bigger mobs out there, man. Somebody's got to make a big group. I guess that was our job. No, you know what? I'm so freaking boring. I'm heels. I'm just not a kind, nice druid healer. I'll suck the life out of everybody that has ever tried to hurt us, heels.
She doesn't have good bedside manner.
I don't, but I'm very effective.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely powerful as heels. I can keep the whole group and the tank alive, even when the off tank has gone and drawn a whole room full of mobs. And that's, bless their hearts. In our house, I'm definitely main heels. Definitely main heels. My husband is the tank. He's our main tank. But he's also, most of the time, thinks he's raid leader. Bless his heart.
He can be kind of a berserker.
Sometimes he is very berserker. And you gotta kind of mitigate that, which is why a good raid needs a good raid leader. And sometimes it's not the tank. You know, sometimes the tank needs some direction. But I have actually an older son who, though he himself is completely useless for his own heels, like he is the squishiest little healer. He'll just die if he stubs his toe. It's a mess. But when it comes to everybody else, he's good with heels for everybody else. So he's a good off heels. When you get a big enough group, you need an off heel. So, and then, bless their hearts, all the rest of them are mad DPS, including the spazzy one who, bless his heart, will not be named, Isaiah. And he is the one aggroing entire roomfuls of mobs.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need that level of spazzy. You need somebody that can just run in and round up the whole room. All right, babe, go round them all up for me and bring them back to the tank. That's an actual strategy. So we got one of those in case you need them. I've got them all. That's what we call training mobs, and they just all come running after you.
Heal me.
I'm coming back.
So who used to do that? Somebody used to do that.
In my family, like I guess in my immediate family, I'm not a ranger, I'm a tank. And David's a tank too. And I'm more defensive of him, but he has had a plethora of horrible, horrible bosses. And I'm like, you know what you should tell him? You should tell him. I'll go tell him. And he has to make me back down, like, sometimes, especially one of his bosses. Like, he came over and smelled my neck. Yeah.
Boss?
Am I? Yeah. He came up behind me and he smelled my neck.
To you.
Just be aware, this is about to be another example of Jen going rogue.
Rogue almost happened. It was almost elbow strike. So that's our dynamic. In my nuclear family, my parents, my dad's a tank. My sister's a tank, big time. She'll go toe-to-toe with anyone in arguments and any other way. But not anymore. She's kind of reformed herself.
What's that?
My mom's a healer. My dad's a tank. My brother is a tank. We're a family of tanks. The family I grew up in, I was more of a ranger. One more example? That's
sure,
it?
Sure, yeah.
Birth signs.
Oh, our signs. I think that it kind of speaks for itself. Yeah. I mean, our two fire signs, Stephanie and I, and we very much draw a lot of attention, as fires will do. In every situation.
You're a Leo.
What are you?
Aries.
Yep.
I thought she was air.
No, Aries is not air.
Aries,
there's
is
no
fire.
Airs in this room.
Okay, then
no airs.
Do that.
No, I'm Virgo, and Earth is my sign. So
you are
Ranger.
Very earthy.
I'm an earthy person.
That doesn't mean you're not a rogue.
But I also ground people.
I still say you're a rogue. I'm a Pisces.
Put them in the ground.
Ground you.
Put them in.
Angela
ground?
Has said that I ground. I help ground.
Yeah.
And put them in the ground.
And put them in the ground. I've never done that.
Do we have any heirs in our big group?
My husband is an heir, and he fuels my fire. Oh, boy. Could you get me mad?
David's a Libra.
That's an heir.
I think that's an heir. Hold on, we gotta go. Oh, my phone died. I can't Google it.
Air can stir dust. I fight with him a lot, too.
Well, yeah.
Like those little dust devils. Yeah.
Definitely Libra's in air.
That explains a lot.
We don't have enough water in our group is what we don't have enough of. Which is why you need a strong-ass healer. For God's sakes, I'm in charge of everybody. And nobody's even drunk Scotsmen who wander into our camp in the middle of the night.
We really do have a lot of fire. We have a lot of fire.
A lot of fire.
In our group. A lot of it. Because even Drew's our newest member. He's an Aries
fire
as well. He's even another redhead. We keep collecting redheads. I don't know how we keep doing it.
I don't have a problem with that. My sister's a redhead. My mother's a redhead. I grew up with redheads. I like redheads. My husband's not.
I'm an honorary redhead. I consider myself.
My son's strawberry blonde. Does that count?
That's true. You do. You make redheads.
You made a redhead. You made a ginger man.
I had auburn hair when I was born. It turned black.
His is red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's strawberry blonde now because he's out in the sun, but that boy is redheaded.
Yes. It gets because we're basically Scandinavian. We have berserkers in our family, too.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Berserkers.
Yeah, berserkers were warriors in the Viking warriors.
Crazy.
They were scary. Scary people. My sister can be a berserker sometimes. I love you. Your sister can be a berserker too, from what I hear.
Oh my gosh.
My sister lives berserker. That's just, there is no other mode at all. Ever. Ever.
My sister's the scary fairy, so she's like the death pixie.
Your sister is a straight up imp.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
She said imp with an I.
Imp.
She's
imp.
A straight up imp.
Yeah, she's straight up imp. She's very mischievous and tricky. So she's not cute and cuddly. She's tiny and deadly.
We should never get our sisters together.
No.
They would not make a good raid group.
Christy, like, could hurt all of them, but she has the sweetest personality. You know what I mean?
Right.
she's the tallest, and she could, but she wouldn't.
Christy would be the last one to realize it's a fight. Like, she would have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Whereas
we're going there.
Jessica and Beth would show up loaded and ready to fight something epic and just kill anybody just in case.
You always gotta have a weapon on you just in case. You never know what kind of situation you're going into. That's how we were raised.
My sister carries a gun when she runs. Where does that fit in?
Well, I used to think if you could run in just an empty holster, it would just probably defer people from wanting to attack you because you were wearing a shoulder holster while running, even if it didn't have a gun in it. It would just be like, it's like she's practicing to carry. She might be able to defend herself.
I don't know. I think my sister could talk herself out of almost any situation. I think that there's a character in D&D that does that, like maybe the bard or something like that.
Well, the troubadour... Yeah, they don't talk themselves out of it. They lull people to sleep, or they lull people to stun, or they just they get out their little guitar and start to play, and everybody just gets all happy.
But yeah,
and then you kill them in the back, or Jen does, because Jen is a rogue. Golly,
that's the theme of this podcast.
So whenever we did our pirate ninja thing, I was dressed appropriately for that.
Yes. She's the only ninja rogue amongst us. The rest of us are just honest pirates.
If you want to see that picture, it'll be in the show notes. Speaking of pictures, we took the beginning of the evening taking pictures of ourselves standing with the type of weapons we would carry if we were in a MMO or RPG.
That's a fun thing to talk about. So, weapons of choice. Okay, don't start with me though, because I'm heels and my weapon sucks. Start with Angela.
Tank. Well, I mean, the thing is, as a main tank, you have to have a shield and a big old sword. So, but it can't be a two-handed sword, because you gotta have a shield. So, I guess a shield and a good...
You could have really good armor sword. And a double two-handed sword.
That's true, but the... I guess it just depends on how you're playing, because I would like to have... I do like to do a wield, but I think a shield and a sword is probably best for me.
I thought it was the axe.
Oh my god, you're right. I want something that bludgeons. I want something that bludgeons, has an axe on one end, and the bludgeoning on the other.
A club.
And just, like, really club them. Just keep hitting.
Okay, weapon for your favorite character to play, not your character in real life. So your favorite character to play... is when you run out of fireballs, you also want a giant axe
You know what I would really love is, they haven't invented this yet, but it's like brass knuckles, except for you click it, and then it's a knife on the end.
I think Wolverine invented that.
No. To the side.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually do have them.
So, like, it looks like brass knuckles, but you, like, click it, and then a knife comes out the side, and then you...
Yeah,
I think Stephanie and I know what we're getting Angela for Christmas.
I was like, there's fantasy weapons.
The flipping is the most important part.
Okay. Sorry.
And it has to be brass.
In-game, what kind of weapon?
All right.
Sorry.
My favorite weapon, hands down, is sword and board, but I like a smaller, maneuverable shield. Like, pretty much the size of my forearm. Something... that
Celtic.
Is versatile. Yeah, very Celtic. I don't like a traditional broadsword with the cross hilt. I like more of a short sword. In fact, in one of the pictures when we're holding up the swords, if you see my offhand weapon is actually... I know the crisp blade is really impractical, but it's so pretty. but the hilt I had specifically designed to be more of kind of the Viking Roman older style. Because... it wouldn't get in the way, it wouldn't get caught, and it was effective to keep it lightweight and balanced, and that was important. So, but I like a short sword and a smaller shield. I'm going to get in close inside a long grasp, because my arms aren't that long. So my whole advantage is getting in close in your face till you don't have a face anymore.
So Angela wants to bludgeon people with her giant axe, and Stephanie wants a straight-up fight. All right, good to know. Jen, how about you?
I always have a bow, and I choose dwarven bow or elven bow in Skyrim. In real life, I'd like to have a horse bow, because they're more maneuverable, and they're more practical in bushy areas, because, hey, ranger.
Okay.
You want to be able to hide?
And in Skyrim, when I play, I sneak a lot. And they tend to tell you when you've joined, I think, the Thieves Guild, they'll tell you shadow hide you. And that's what I was referencing at the beginning. So I sneak a lot everywhere I go when I sneak. You can't hear me coming. You can't hear me coming. Okay, what about you? You said yours was boring. I doubt it.
Well, it's because it doesn't exist. I'm a healer. I don't weapons. I'm a healer. That's what I do.
If you had to defend yourself.
You have to defend yourself.
I have to defend myself, I want a big ass stick. I do. I big stick or a double bladed lightsaber, because that's a stick with two lightsabers on the end. And there's just nothing more awesome than that. But in real life, my weapon of choice is a big ass stick. Absolutely. Because you just got that sneak attack thing going on. I look like this nice little bit, I'm just walking with the stick. And then I'm going to beat you with it.
You know, it goes really well with that saying, walk softly and carry a big stick.
That's right. And that's, I'm only 5 feet tall. That's kind of how you got to live life.
And the thing about this, though, is that, just to bring it full circle, is that this can be applied to, like, almost anything. When you're in a meeting at work, when you're hanging out with your family, when you're at Thanksgiving, when you're at, you know, anything that you do, these things apply. And it's really interesting how our attributes, you know, for lack of a better, our attributes and skills that we have as people, much like they do in game, they affect how we handle things. And when we're in the group, how that group dynamic changes. When it's just Jen and I, when it's just Stephanie and I, or Stephanie and Jen, there's a slightly different dynamic because of the roles that we have to fill. And then Jedi Jen and I obviously work together. And so how we are at work is also different, but it's still the same things apply. You know, I mean, I still go in pretty much how I would in any situation and just kind of bother people and get their attention until they give me what I want. I'm just kidding.
No, she's not.
and Jen just, you know, we're just different. I mean,
I wait in the shadows for something to come my way.
She literally works in the dark. That's pretty funny.
No, I do, because I work in a design lab. We turn the lights off and we just have these really cool, like, lamps.
I have light. Lamps plus more light, because I like to have lots of light. I don't sneak at all. I'm not good at sneaking. I don't try to sneak. My husband gets very mad at me because I can barely just get out of bed in the middle of the night to get a glass of water without waking people up. My feet are so... I'm probably really like a dwarf. Like, what is it in Two Towers? Where he's like, that dwarf breathes so loudly. Like, that would be me. I'd be like, I'm Gimli.
You also walk really fast.
That's true. I walk really fast. Okay. I got someplace to be. So anyway.
Yeah, being a tank or off tank as a kindergarten teacher is funny. I was thinking about how that dynamic applies, but I think I'm so very fiercely protective of my kids. I tell parents that they are your children when you go home to them, but when they're at school, they're like mine. And so, like, whenever they talk about, you know, they're being a threat to the school or a threat to kids, I'm like, uh-oh, no one is getting to my kids. I don't care who they are. No one is going to hurt my kids. They're going to do awesome. They're going to get out of school. They're going to graduate and go to college, and they're going to have a fantastic life, and I am starting them out now. Fiercely protective of them. And their education and their learning and making sure they do the best that they can along the way.
Jen works in the shadows.
Why is that funny?
It's just funny. It's just, I did not know that was going to come out of this. Like, that's the through line of this entire podcast.
Jen and of is course, a rogue.
And of course, Sith Jen is literally a healer.
Literally a healer. Oh my goodness. Yes. It sounds boring.
Do you meet people in your world who are not healers and it confuses you?
I do, and it doesn't confuse me so much as it pisses me off, because I feel like I need to tell them, you don't belong here. You did something wrong, you rolled the wrong tune, this is not okay, because no. And usually, you will meet them too. You have all seen them every time you have to go to the doctor's office and you have the troll at the front gate. That lady, or gentleman... Equal opportunity trolls. They're gatekeepers. They're just mean people. And they should not be around sick people who are sad and don't feel good. They're mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Usually I encounter those at the dentist's office.
Right. What is it about dentistry?
I don't know.
That
and they like to gossip.
Mean people.
They gossip while you're standing at the counter about other patients. And that reminds me, while I was at the ER a few months ago, the nurse's station, they were talking about, within earshot, how having an x-ray or a MRI can increase your chance of cancer. And here they had just done an x-ray on me and talking about how they have no idea that it'll triple their chance of cancer. I'm like, hello!
Only if you do it hello. All the time.
Thank you for your
sensitivity.
Sensitivity.
I have to say, my doctor is one of the best healers I've ever met.
See, he rolled the right tune.
He rolled the right tune. He just has a complete
healer. And
he is,
like, spiritual.
Yes, just healer in all the ways, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel very lucky to have that particular doctor.
You know who else is a healer?
Who?
Rick Moyer.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Would you say, Rico is a...
He's a ranger like you. I think he's like you.
He's definitely not rogue.
I'd like to
yeah,
see...
I don't think he's a rogue. No, he's not a rogue. But no. He is ranged DPS.
Ranged DPS. Yeah.
Bart is a rogue.
Bart.
So.
Bart is a scoundrel.
Well, I feel bad because... Like,
because he's really a good guy.
The reason we
But
brought,
he's a scoundrel.
Hold on. The reason we brought the two of you here is because we wanted to not have this conversation without you. We wanted to make sure you were here to speak for yourself.
So can't talk about the people who aren't here? You better edit that out then.
But it's so true.
No, I think he would agree. When I was playing my druid, Bart would get invisible as his rogue, and he and I would go scout places out together when he and I played together. He was a rogue, true and true.
Yeah, I agree. You're right.
Well,
but my point is that...
Scoundrel is a good guy class.
We can still talk about our friends.
What did Mark play?
He liked to play DPS.
I can see that.
I can see him as a very powerful caster. He's got...
And he
he's
also like
a little squishy... A little squishy in direct combat, but I can see him standing back and being uber powerful. Also, really good raid leader. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really good raid leader.
I think Margaret has said she's played rogues before.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was her main...
I don't know what she plays now, but I know that when we played a long time
ago... She was really good at
her rogue was like, that was her thing.
Right. And you can have really, really powerful rogues. Those are the guys that sneak up behind you, stab you once, and you're gone. You never saw them.
They don't have to worry
about their armor class because they just don't. They never get
they're
hit.
They're in and out and done.
Yeah.
Jeff is what?
Oh, that's hard because he's very versatile in what he does. He puts on a big face, but
I'm gonna call it. If you're not gonna
call it, because.
Jeff is a paladin.
I'm too close. Yeah.
Jeff is a paladin.
Yeah.
And the reason is because he has some tanking skills if he absolutely has to. He didn't like to, but if he absolutely has to. But he also has a healer skill that's not like a good heals, but if you need a buff or a cure, like res... If you need a res.
Yeah, that makes sense a lot. Because I was going to say...
He's not a healer, but he's a buffer and a reser.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense because he does a lot of healing in his job and at home, and he does. But he can take the blunt. He can take the force. And
like
I have seen him get up in the face of some guy two heads taller than him and be like...
But again, paladins are kind of like healer tanks, but people but they don't actually heal. Mm-hmm. What they do is give you a little bit of buffer, which is just protection, which means you go into a situation with a little bit of protection. Mm-hmm. And if you're outclassed by your mob... He's always there to res you. Mm-hmm. That's Jeff.
So what we've given you here are the tools to choose the people for your zombie apocalypse compound. So assess the people in your immediate friend group and decide which ones are going to be the gardener, the doctor, the protectors, the zombie killers.
If somebody's missing, maybe you need some new friends.
Yeah. Right, go find, fill up your raid group before the zombies come.
No, but we're actually really curious for this one more than any other show. Call in, write in, go to the Facebook group. We want to know how you see yourself, how you see the people around you. What do you like in your job? You know, how does this apply? I think you'll find yourself thinking about this more and more as you go through your daily life. And it's funny and interesting. So when you're watching basketball.
Because I know there's groups of people that they enjoy a common activity together. For instance, I enjoy going backpacking for days on end. My husband and I do that together, but none of my raid group does that quite the same way that my husband and I do. So that's one of those deals, but it's not necessarily a shared act I have to do with my raid group. It's what I think one of the skill sets I bring to my raid group. I bring to my friends.
Yeah. I like that.
Right. Yeah.
We want to hear from you. Please go to our website, check out our show notes. There'll be the pictures there we were talking about earlier that we took for fun, you know, with us with our weapons in our street clothes. The Leroy Jenkins video, and then related episodes where we've come together to talk about other things like cosplay and costuming and things like that. Go to our website, anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Also, if you will, there's a place to subscribe to our website where you can get our blogs, because Angela posts, makes blog posts, and we have another couple of people who are going to be doing that more regularly, and I do occasionally.
Sue
and Casey both do that. Subscribe to our website, subscribe to our podcast. You can do that in iTunes and in Stitcher, or just go to our website. There are other places that you could subscribe. And join our Facebook group. It's like this really cool gathering of people just like you who like to talk about all kinds of things in a serious manner and then joke about the stupidest things
Silly
ever.
Things too.
We all get along really well. Join the group on Facebook and like our page, because we also have a Facebook page, and we have our Twitter account at Anomaly Podcast. I would love it if you follow me, because I'm in charge of that. You can also call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742. I'm going to talk about it.
Do we?
Okay, no, I want to. And also, there's a widget on our website that you can click and record directly into. Long story short, we want to hear from you. Don't be lazy. Talk to us.
Especially on this one.
Especially on this one. But before we end, Seth, Jen, and I are going to make an appearance at PAX South.
We are! Just the two Jens. Just the two Jens. It'll be very exciting. This year, for those of you that do game, this is very exciting. You've all heard about PAX, which started out in California, I think. Or no, Seattle. I think it was Seattle. It started in Seattle, and there's PAX East. Well, PAX is such a big deal now, they now have PAX South, which we are very excited to have here in San Antonio, Texas, which is a gamer convention. Now, you've seen the Anomaly stuff where we go to the Comic-Cons and that kind of stuff. We've done that in Austin and in San Antonio. But now, this is a GamerCon. So those of you that were super excited about us doing anything about gaming, this one's for you. And both the Jens are going to be there, both Sith and Jedi Jen. And I'm challenged Jen to be fully dressed in Jedi Jen garb.
I am always fully dressed.
Fully dressed as a Jedi Jen.
Are you going to be fully dressed as Sith Jen?
I will be some form of Sith Jen.
Not necessarily
I'm not
fully
sure
dressed.
Which Sith Jen, and I'm not sure how fully dressed. All the important bits will be covered. I don't know. I may or may not be painted blue. We'll see.
We're also going to meet Anne.
I'm going to try to come eat.
You're not going to be in gaming
but
mode
I can eat.
Or in the... Yes.
Well, we'll probably meet Anne at the Riverwalk or something. And Anne is from Project Reroll, and she's also one of our staff writers. So we can't wait to meet her.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to be at the convention, though,
yeah,
right?
She is.
Very cool. We're going to be there Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And she has to leave on Sunday. That's why we have to
meet
her. Maybe you can come with us to dinner.
Oh, cool.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
I'm Stephanie.
And I'm the other Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
This may be the nerdiest podcast you guys have ever done.
Yeah.
I'm very proud.
Hey, did you like this episode? Did you like the episode the other month, or the other week, or the one from last year even, because we've been going an awful long time? If you do, then phone us on 432 363 4742 and tell us what you think. Of course, be interesting if you can. Don't be one of these people who just phone up and leave really long pauses, or you just drone on and on and on, because who wants to listen to that? I don't, and I'm having to read this message. So go on, phone us up. See if you can do better than what I can. See, I'm very good, kind of. Well, I'm not really. I'm having to do it for food and shelter, because they keep poking me with sticks, the women at Anomaly. They do. They make me do these things. They make me sit here in front of this microphone, and they beat me. So please phone up on 432 363 4742 and help me.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com.
That's Anomaly.
Podcast.com.
Do you remember playing great PC games like King's Quest, Command & Conquer, and X-Wing? Do you remember spending hours tweaking your config sys and autoexec bat files to eke out just one more K of conventional memory? If you do, then you may be interested in my show, The Upper Memory Block. Every 2 weeks, we talk in-depth about a game, game series, company, or technology from the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. We'll discuss the story, gameplay, and technology of the games of the time. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what made each game special, interesting stories from their development, and how they shaped what PC gaming is today. If you remember gaming in the late 80s and early 90s, or you're interested in finding out more about it, come join your host Joe in the Upper Memory Block. That's the Upper Memory Block podcast at umbcast.com, or find it on iTunes.
Imagine yourself strolling the streets of Coruscant, leading a squadron of elite X-Wing pilots, going toe-to-toe with the Dark Lord of the Sith. You can. All you have to do is crack open a book and listen to the Star Wars Stacks podcast and book club. Each month, your hosts Joe, Chris, and Jen take you on a guided tour of the expanded universe. The hosts begin their reviews with a non-spoiler synopsis and analysis to help you decide whether it's worth a read before sounding a spoiler alert and delving into the story in great detail. Subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Find the Star Wars Stacks on Facebook, Twitter, Goodreads, and swstacks.com, the Star Wars Stacks podcast and book club. It's fun. It's immersive. It's Star Wars.
Okay, guys, these eggs have given us a lot of trouble in the past. Does anybody need anything off this guy, or can we bypass him?
I think Leroy needs something from this guy.
Oh, he needs those devout shoulders? Isn't he a paladin?
Yeah, but that'll help him heal better. He'll have more mana.
Christ. Okay, well, what we'll do... I'll run in first, gather up all the eggs so we can kind of just, blast them all down with AoE. I will use Intimidating Shout to kind of scatter them so we don't have to fight a whole bunch of them at once. When my shout's done, I'll need Anthony to come in and drop his shout too, so we can keep them scattered and not have to fight too many. When his is done, Bass, of course, will need to run in and do the same thing. We're going to need Divine Intervention on our mages so they can AE. So we can, of course, get them down fast, because we're bringing all these guys. I mean, we'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick. I think it's a pretty good plan. We should be able to pull it off this time. What do you think, Abdul? Can you give me a number crunch real quick?
Yeah, give me a sec. I'm coming up with 32.33, repeating, of course, percentage of survival.
Oh, that's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, chums,
ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy! Dragons!
Oh my god, he just ran in.
Save him!
Oh jeez, stick to the plan!
Oh jeez, let's go.
Stick to the plan, Jeff!
Stick to the plan!
Oh gee, oh fuck.
Give me the mind intervention!
Hurry up!
Shout out! You think I can't cast? I can't move, am I lagging, guys?
I can't move! What the hell?
I can't hear you!
Oh my god.
The eggs keep spawning! More responding!
I don't think you can cast with that shit.
Oh my god.
Shout.
Oh my god.
God damn it, Leroy.
God damn it.
Leroy, you moron.
Leroy.
This is ridiculous.
It's on mass. I'm down. Forking down. God damn
it. This is down. Actually, before I can remove
god
on this.
God.
Oh, spiffy resus.
Why do you do this shit, Leroy?
I'm trying.
It's not my fault!
Who's Soulstone?
We do have a Soulstone up, don't we?
Do you got Soulstone?
Warlock.
Oh, God.
Oh, for... Great job, guys!
Leroy, you were just stupid as hell.
Over there.
At least I have chicken.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.